Internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you've decided to join us. We finally decided to come back after what seems like an eternity. We have, as always, Sam and Chiz here with us. Hi, Sam and Chiz.
Hello.
You happy?
Yes.
No, we're back.
No,
we no one's
to be able
happy.
To see stuff, by the way, like us or anything. You?
That's delay.
I think that's why.
Oh, I thought that was a pre-recorded one.
That was pre-recorded. What
this
was?
This is actually pre-recorded.
This is. We're not actually talking right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I better actually just check that all the cameras are switched off for the audio like we did the last time, because we don't want to have that again. So that was...
Once again, you haven't bothered checking before we start.
I haven't bothered checking. Hold on. I'm just checking right now. I'll be there in a minute. Just you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Well,
it's all good.
I also have an idea of, like, you made me think of Sam when you were telling me about playing DayZ.
Yeah.
When you said you were pretty sure you were fitter than the character you were playing as.
Yes.
I thought...
Which is pretty difficult.
Yeah. I thought, like, they should invent a game where, like, basically they have to take, like, it's like a body scanner thing, where it's a online fighting game.
Yeah.
But your character can only do the things you can only physically do. So, to become good at this game, you have to physically get fitter and stronger. So, it will just be a world of gamers stubbing their toes and falling off walls. And wheezing into, like, masses and dying of asthma attacks.
Yeah.
I want to spectate at one of those matches.
Why don't you just make them fight to the death?
Yeah.
It'll be quicker.
And
have the same end result.
Or... depending on your fitness, you were then, like, you're given, like, a game class. So, say if you're morbidly obese, you're just basically a gun turret somebody else had to shove to, had to actually shove about the map.
I would play that.
Yeah.
You have been assigned Boomer.
Yeah, that would be quite cool. Anyway, I've sorted out, and it doesn't look like there's any audio or anything issues like that. And also, my microphone was a little too close before, so it's good now. We're all good. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Awesome.
Right. You have been placed in Plants vs. Zombies.
Right. Okay. Anyway, on with the show. Yes, we've not been around for a little while. Lots of stuff has happened. I did kind of briefly consider doing a very, very quick synopsis of the last, what, 6, 8 weeks? 8 weeks?
Look, right. The government took us away. We've been working undercover on the down low in Central Asia. It's been wild. It's been wild. Beating the groupies off with sticks. Tough times.
The things we had to do to get off the sex register.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're back. That's the main thing.
Just and back to beating ourselves off with sticks.
We're back. So instead of kind of labouring over all the things that we didn't cover, I'm just going to close that down because I've just given details away.
Everything! all of the things happened.
Oculus Rift was launched.
Yep. It's basically just...
Discuss.
A few days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was March 28th. Apparently, the first person to pre-order the Rift received it hand-delivered by the founder, Palmer Luckey. Which is
would you want that if you ordered something and then like a camera crew and the guy who made it turned up at your house?
I don't think I would actually. Like, yeah. I mean, he maybe knew about it.
I just want to go and play with my toy. Leave me alone.
It's, especially if it's VR, I'd be in my pants ready for it, and then I have to put my clothes back on for this guy. You know,
with your penis attachment already on.
Well, yeah. Who's using VR for games?
Well, this guy. Look, we've got this guy. He's doing this whole zero-G thing at the moment.
Yeah, that looks quite good. It's like we were saying before, it looks like the Surgeon Simulator thing, but an alien autopsy.
Yeah. It's like they've had the idea of, like, Surgeon Simulator, but what if it was in zero-G?
Mm-hmm.
And then it went, oh, well, let's do an alien then. That makes perfect sense.
Except I don't think they're fixing him.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't look like there's a positive thing happening there. Are the hands in the way? It's... We've got some pills floating about there. What is that?
That's what I was saying before. That looks like the weapon from the film Krull.
I don't think I've ever seen that film.
Well, you missed out.
See, where's his arms? I don't like that. Where's his arms?
There.
No, that's the alien's arms. Look, it's his hands.
They're invisible.
Yeah, what's that about?
They're floating hands. You don't need... the invisible man.
You don't necessarily need your arms there. They were never near on the original air surgeon simulator when you had to use the mouse and keyboard.
That's true. That is true. So this is the guys at... oh, no, this is an HTC Vive. I just realised we're watching a video for an HTC Vive as opposed to Oculus Rift.
Well done.
Slick ass straight back in there. Right,
which
exactly
is
what you want.
Out this month as well, isn't it?
It is. Nicely segued, Chiz. So I've got no information on the HTC Vive. I've got stuff here on the PlayStation VR and the Oculus Rift.
It's the same kind of thing.
It's basically the same thing. It's a Steam's thing.
Yeah, the Valve's... Oh, sorry, the Vive's out later this month, and it's a couple hundred pounds more expensive than the Rift. Because the Rift's, what, $600? It's dollars.
Yeah.
And the Vive's 800, is it? Or is it 700, I'm thinking?
I don't know. The PlayStation VR is only 350. Mm-hmm. I know that much. But then to get the camera as well, you're probably another £40. So your best part of £400 for the PlayStation VR. Mm-hmm. But then you also need a PlayStation on top of that. But a PlayStation is going to be cheaper than buying like a computer that's going to actually run.
The image seems frozen on the screen there.
Oh, so it does. That's strange. Seems to be working okay for us.
Is it?
Yeah, the live stream appears to have hung. Oh, no, there we go. We're back again.
Oh, well.
Hey. Oh, well. Yeah, that was exciting. It was exciting for a couple of minutes. Most of the news articles...
normality.
Most of the news articles and things like that I can find relating to the Oculus Rift are talking more about the screw-ups on launch. There was unexpected component shortage, according to Oculus Rift, or Facebook, I guess, technically, that basically slowed down the delivery, and some people didn't get their delivery on the March 28th. It seems to have been a little bit of a PR nightmare. They haven't really handled it particularly well. It just didn't turn up. You would have assumed that somebody somewhere would have known that that person was not receiving their Oculus Rift before the day of delivery, or possibly a few days later. But I kind of feel it was a little bit of a shame that could have been quite easily gotten around by somebody just kind of going, yep, half these people aren't going to get them. Please make them drop them an email.
Yeah.
Potentially, but hey-ho.
I think I read some today that they're... anyone who it's affected is getting their global actual postage paid for now, so you don't have to pay.
I read that as well.
Pay any of that, but at the same
still
time,
sucks.
I think there's some people who've kind of lost order and are back to like on the waiting list or whatnot. So like they'll have to wait till is it June or something.
Batch.
Yeah,
it's basically when they manage to catch up orders and everything like that, which. Yeah, it could be a while before they manage that.
I think the Vive's had a few problems along the same lines as well. I've read somewhere, but. So yeah, so they've both kind of been hit with order crap.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But, like
the reviews that are coming in seem fairly positive of it. I mean, yeah, you've had a shot of one of the demo versions. We've discussed this before.
Yeah, at, I played. I think it was Dev Kit 2, and I played it. It was super hot. It was Eurogamer.
Yeah, that was
Eurogamer. I was fairly impressed. Although I would need to. Well, I'm interested in. If I had like a spare loads of money around, I'd probably buy one. But at £600 and for £600 and £800 and probably £400 for the PlayStation VR, the price isn't tempting me in. But it's one of the things where I'm definitely interested in, but I might have to wait a year or two to see what happens with it.
Yeah, it's possible like second.
It's one of those things where I wouldn't jump on it until kind of second gen or.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of the same. I'm considering the PlayStation VR mainly because of the drop-in. Like, it's cheaper more than anything else.
It's limited. I don't think it's as impressive as Rift and Vive. But there's rumours going like, well, I'm wondering what Sony are doing because there's rumours going around that there's a PlayStation 4K or...
the 4.5, yeah.
Which sounds like... At first, I thought it would just be... Like, when I first read that, I thought, it'll just be a new version of the PlayStation 4 as they do like a smaller or a redesigned version to save on components and things like that, but it'll be much the same as the original one. But it sounds like it is going to have more its horsepower to it, and I wonder if they're doing that to make the VR more...
It's possible.
...better, because like, and they're saying that all the newer games that they release will still work on the original, but on the PS4, but on the PlayStation, the newer version, there'll be maybe a better resolution or frame rate and slightly better graphics and whatnot, but they'll still, like, much like games work on PC, but which is an interesting idea, but I don't know, do we want that sort of thing to happen? It's on a console platform where not everyone's on a level playing field. If you've got
if you've got somebody sitting in the new PlayStation, which is going to have much better graphics and it's going to be 4K graphics, so presumably they're going to be able to see.
It's a games won't be 4K because it's how expensive a PC is to run at 4K. There's no way that maybe play its video in 4K, but you won't get games in 4K.
Right. Okay.
Because to run games on PC at 4K, you're talking like a $2,000-$3,000 PC.
Yeah.
At 4K, like...
No.
At the highest... If you turn all the settings down, but then it's like, what's the point of having really crap graphics at 4K?
You can get 4K at about... I would say about 1400-1500-ish.
Sam, can you move your mic closer to you?
It doesn't like it. It keeps moving away. We'll tighten it. This is your job. Where does it tighten?
Well, where's it turning?
Everywhere. Away from me is where it's turning.
Is it fixed?
Okay, might try and watch the stream. Yeah. So, words happened. What else?
It does have quite good reviews. Engadget, the Oculus Rift delivers an impressive amount of immersion. Wired says, this is an astonishingly well-made device. It delivers rock-solid, comfortable VR and does so easily. High Times says, this shit is legit. And Polygon, retail virtual reality is here. It was worth the wait. So there you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping on, but interestingly, there was a bit of a segue there. So you were talking about kind of
semis
cross-platform-ness with your... So that
it's
was...
like they're doing, like they're basically... turning it's a console brand into what, say, it's Apple doing with iPhones.
Yeah, but
how do you mean by that?
Say, if you've got they could all maybe run the same game, but depending on what version of iPhone, you'll probably get a better experience with it.
See what you mean. Yeah.
But proper cross-platform is like properly being discussed now.
Yeah.
The whole Microsoft going over to Sony and going,
that is.
We'd do it.
I don't think. So who'll blink first, kind of thing?
PC.
I think it forces
their
hand because they can't just go, well, I'm not going to do it because the public want it. We all want it.
Yeah.
So.
I think it'll end up.
They can't back down now, I don't think.
I think it'll be obvious. Like, if it does, like, well, you can already do it with its cross play with PC Inc. with.
PC and PlayStation.
With it's Rocket League. And I think the same's happening with the Xbox One version. And it sounds like there's going to be more and more it's Xbox games are going to be able to play with the same version on Steam. And, well, not maybe on Steam, but...
See, I don't have a problem
on Windows 10 with the Xbox thing, whether or not they'll do it in Steam as well. Well, they're basically saying we are wanting that route, but it'll be down to the actual developers if it's going to be worth it for them. I suspect it won't be...
I think it'd be tough.
I'd still be surprised to see if there's a proper platform game between Xbox and PlayStation.
I think getting away from the contractuals and whether they'll actually play ball and stuff like that, I think that's the fair version. I would not like to try and play like a Call of Duty game or something like that on an Xbox versus someone on a PC, because they are going to be absolutely laser-focused on the sniper rifles and the guns and all that kind of stuff.
You get owned playing folk who are...
Well, exactly. I get owned by playing folk who only have one arm.
People are just using their mouth on the controller.
Just licking it vigorously.
However, I might actually finally have a chance.
Yeah, I know.
It's for some games it makes sense, but... I'd still be really surprised if we see any game that's linked between Xbox Live and PSN, to be honest.
It could happen, but I agree. I think
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, so would I. Ark Survival Evolved are currently facing some legal issues that may ultimately end up taking the game off of shelves and taking it off of sale. So Sam, me and you were talking about this on Friday night. We both read a headline and then hadn't bothered to read the context of the article, and then made up a whole awful story about the people who made Turok suing ARK because of copyright.
Yeah.
Because there was guns and dinosaurs.
That's true, though, isn't it?
That is actually... That may happen. That is not what this article's about.
Right, it's unfortunate.
It was actually Spielberg. He says he owns all dinosaurs and stuff. came in and kicked them all in the head.
I know. And he only got that because David Attenborough left the dinosaurs in his will. There was a whole deal there. It was all very elaborate. Anyway.
You mean Richard Attenborough?
I do not mean Richard Attenborough.
Yes, he does.
They're all the same.
But David Attenborough should have it as well.
Those old white men wandering around.
Well, they're brothers.
Just looking the same.
Yeah.
They're brothers.
With their old white faces. Can't tell them apart.
Anyway, ARK Survival Evolved, easy for me to say, is facing some legal issues, mainly down to, it's actually kind of boring. I only put it in here because originally I thought it was something really interesting, and we all like this game, so I put it in, but it's actually kind of boring. So basically, Jeremy Steedleglitz, I don't know.
Bit Smith.
Classic. Classic.
Steiglitz. Steel glitz.
No, you got the alphabet wrong there, Paul. It starts with A, B, C.
Jeremy Steelglitz. So he was working at another company called Trendy. He left there in August 2014. He signed a contract like most employers make you do these days, where you're not allowed to do any competitiveness within 12 months of leaving your contract. And basically he went and worked on ARK Survival Evolved. Wildcard, who are obviously the guys who are making ARK Survival Evolved, says that Steelglitz was only consulted on ARK and he didn't really have much to do with the original Inception or anything like that. And so it's ongoing in court. We'll keep a beady eye on this one.
What's the competitiveness though? Like, what was he?
It's a different company. It's just
a
different company.
Yeah, but what was he working on before that?
It doesn't go into it. It does make reference to the fact that it looks similar to a game that that Trendy were working on, but it doesn't go into any more detail than that. So, interesting. Some legal employment law there for this. For those of you that are used to all the legal conversations in British Tech Network, there you go. Gamer Show can keep up.
There's always somebody who has to try and spoil the fun, or somebody who's went and screwed up royally and didn't check what he's not supposed to be stealing from the company left.
Well, the thing is, all employers do it, but it's very, very hard to kind of pin it down.
Yeah.
I've known a couple of guys who, it wasn't anything interesting like this, but who went off and worked with competitors, and their competitor, their previous companies have tried to sue them, and it's kind of been thrown out of court. It's like, well, you've got to work, and if that's the job you do, then
that's the job you do.
So, if you're bad example, if you're a sales guy and you sell a particular piece of software, and you sign a non-compete clause, and you go and move to another company, you're more than likely going to go to another company that sells computer software. I mean, that's your career, it's that kind of thing. Anyway.
I had the same problem back in the 60s when I was a mercenary, and China hired me.
Yeah.
And then Russia hired me after.
Oh, jeez, that's just...
it was tough.
That's just ridiculous.
This was a lot of demand for a tramp bombing back then.
Armed mercenary tramp bombing.
I'll clean your streets, I'll bomb them off them.
Oh dear. Right, okay, back to seriousness now. Baldur's Gate, the game that is now 18 years old. I thought you'd appreciate this, Sam. I don't know if you've seen this.
Classic.
Has a new DLC appeared called Siege of Dragonspear.
Yep.
This must be some sort of record. I've never heard of DLC coming out for an 18-year-old game before.
But it's still incredibly popular.
It is a good game.
There's Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. They recently, just in the last few months, added patches to that game.
Yeah.
Which was just kind of, okay, like, you're still supporting this game?
But it's a phenomenal game, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So as the video here is showing, it's a 30-hour expansion there, but what I've got here is 25 plus hours of gameplay with an updated UI. There's a new character class called Shaman. It's got a story mode difficulty option.
Sharon. Is that just like an angry bird with a half bottle of vodka in a tracksuit?
Oh dear. Right, no.
Shut it, you slag!
Shaman. Well done. Oh dear, a Shaman character.
Right. She's now guarding the Baldur Gate. You have to like answer her three riddles before you get in.
What you say, you dragon?
Oh dear.
Your mum's a... I stopped myself from saying all of the swear words there.
Okay. It looks quite interesting. Story mode, difficulty option that appears to have a no-fail mode, operates with a no-fail mode. Expansion has made a lot of original Baldur's Gate creators as well through the new studio Beamdog. And it's $14.99 on Steam now, just launched. So.
La, la.
Have you downloaded it, Sam?
I have not. I'm wondering, would it work with my original copy of Baldur's Gate?
That's the idea. That's sort of the point of it, I thought.
Because that's nothing to do with Steam or anything, though. And Steam's not exactly great at integrating non-Steam games.
Yeah.
You can put them into your list, but...
You would probably have to buy their Steam version and then...
I think I would have to buy the Steam version and then purchase it on top.
Yeah, so if you've got the original, like, massive box copy...
I have got the original massive box copy. Yeah. I think it's...
With proper game manuals when they existed.
It was like five discs or something?
Baldur's Gate? So I've got the Baldur's Gate 2 that you bought me for my birthday. Yeah. I still have that, actually. I found it the other day. So I still have that.
Is that happening?
Yeah, it's happening.
He's in it.
So
because I own that game.
Yep, I thought you would appreciate this. So apparently... Elite Dangerous are getting a William Shatner voice pack. The voice pack will be available on the 8th, so that's this coming Friday. Though you can pre-order now for $9.99. And I should have this all plugged in so you can hear it. Hold on, I'll see if I can wire it up.
Is this probably just the battle Star Citizen and their voice cast? They've added a few people like it's Mark Hamill and whatnot, haven't they?
No one cares about Mark Hamill. It's all about William Shatner.
Everyone cares about Mark.
Hold on, I'm gonna just mute that because we'll get a double voice here.
Thrust vector controls complete. Stand by for launch.
There you go.
Worthwhile thing that's happened in this podcast.
I've made you aware of this.
Stellar cartography.
Set course for the Witchhead Nebula.
Setting course for the Witchhead Nebula in constellation Eridanus.
So, is he your computer? Is William Shatner your PC?
Can you get him to mate with other alien computers?
Transferring power to weapons.
That would be pretty cool. Oh, Ross has joined the chat room. Hey, Ross.
Hey.
Can you check if our audio's working, Ross?
Oh, this is amazing.
Scan the entire system.
Sensors for long-range scan standby. Adding information to cartography database.
Hang on, can I talk to William Shatner?
It would appear that that is the thing.
Oh.
Ignition.
Bill Shatner is called Orion.
This is where I belong. Don't expect me to come back.
Yeah, there you go. So I thought you'd appreciate that, Sam.
Yeah.
You really liked this game, didn't you? You talked about it a couple of shows ago.
It's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. So you can download that for $9.99 and keep us posted in the next show as to how good that was.
I might have to give that a go.
Next game I just wanted to mention because, frankly, you guys had done nothing in the show notes this week, so I thought I'd just chuck some games in. So it's
we kind of forgot that they were there. They've been floating in the cloud for so long.
So, I don't know if you guys have seen this game. It's called Tokyo 42.
Oh, yeah.
This looks quite cool. So it's the first game that Mode 7 has done as a publisher. So the guys that used to make Frozen and Frozen Synapses, I should say. It's from Smack Games, S-M-A-C Let Games, and it's two brothers.
Let it go.
two brothers who have made this game, and it's due out in 2017. It's sort of trying to combine an open-world Grand Theft Auto-y thing with a bit stealthy, sort of Hitman-y type thing with some kind of Monument Valley / Japanese cutesy type thing.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
Syndicate Wars,
yeah. Well, Ross reckons it looks like Habbo Hotel. I have to admit, I never played Habbo Hotel.
I don't even know what that is.
I know what it is because my wife used to play it. I think it's...
it's a gun play, like even like...
It's not a gun game.
No. What? No.
Habbo
like,
Hotel.
No, this. But it's a gun play and whatnot. It reminds me of... of Hotline Miami as well.
Anyway. It's got a little bit of that as well. It looks really cool.
Do you not think it's like Syndicate Wars though?
I don't think I've ever played Syndicate Wars.
What is wrong with you?
But look, there's multiplayer as well. So you've got two guys. The lines going up in the sky there, the two different players. It looks really, really cool. It's a totally different concept from kind of all the other games you're getting just now. And it looks kind of 8-bitty, sort of DOS-y, but really modern at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, you could do it like similar, like in a Hitman and things like that. You could do costume changes to help disguise you and go into different areas and all that kind of stuff. You can, as you can see there, kind of rotate the camera around. Ooh, you can move my mouse around.
Sorry,
so
you got a cat there. Something that I'm going to mention.
Really?
Amy swore me never to speak this to anyone. But I don't really count the people who listen to the show as real people. So it's totally fine to say it on like publicly accessible material.
Go.
She's been playing a Japanese cat mobile game.
Okay. Is that Hatu Full Boyfriend or something?
No.
Oh, no, that was Pigeons. That wasn't Cat. That was Pigeons.
But this cat game, apparently it's incredibly popular, but she finds it so mortifyingly embarrassing that she's addicted to it, that she swore me to secrecy. So there we go.
Cool. Oh, well, there you go. Awesome. Right, so the other thing that we were going to do is we might try this in the next show if we can get the cabling working. But we were going to download the new Nintendo Miitomo app, which is in the App Store. If you open up the App Store on an iPhone or something like that, it's pretty much the top left-hand corner game. It seems to have gone down quite well. It's surpassed one of the, I think it's called Line, one of the top messaging apps in Japan. This has surpassed that. It's already racked up 3 million downloads since its release. Effectively, what it is, and unfortunately, the intention was that we were going to play this live on the show, and so therefore I didn't do a huge amount of research into it because I thought it'd be fun just to kind of experience it as we opened it, but we're not going to do that. But basically, it's a sort of a social network with Miis. So Miis, like you make on your Wii and Wii U, and I think you make them on your DS now as well. You just kind of make your little character, and you answer questions and you ask people questions, and it's kind of a social networking thing. I thought it'd be fun that we could have done live on the air, but we may, if we can manage to get the cable and work, and do that in the next show. But we didn't manage to do that. So Nintendo Miitomo, if you're interested in that, you can go and download it.
I think I hate it already.
Same here.
So the only other piece of news that I wanted to just discuss, and it's been a news article that it's been sitting in the show notes since we were due to do a show, 8 weeks ago? Late January or something like that. Yeah. And it's a discussion one, and it was an interview that IGN did with Fallout 4 creative director Todd Howard. And it was all around announcing games too soon, and I thought this would be an interesting discussion topic for you guys. What do you think? Do you think games are announced too soon these days?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, fine.
The hype,
well, done.
The hype
move
goes on way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. It also puts the far too much pressure, I think, on the people working on the games. So they have to get it out. Like,
and then it makes it
Warhammer crap. Warhammer Total War has taken the brave and right move, I think, of pushing themselves back another month. I'm not sure how much more they're going to get done in a month, but taking extra time to have something done properly is not a problem.
Yeah, I suppose there's kind of two issues with it, though, because on one side, there's getting the games done, there's pushing the date back, but the other side, it's just kind of taking the mech. It's been announced for a while. How much longer are you going to keep on saying, oh yeah, it's coming, and then pushing it back a month, Because I have to say, I defended Chiz this last time that Sam, you did this. You, I've got somewhat double standards when it comes to a Total War game versus any other game.
No, I haven't. I will always accept things being pushed back so they come out properly done. Always.
I don't know.
Never argued against that.
It depends on. I think it depends on the developer, because there's some developers, because they're a small studio and they need funding, will show off something they've done, and then they show off to try and get funding for someone to actually try and pick them up. So that's why but it's still a long time until the game gets made, because they can, like, this is what we've done so far, we're looking for a publisher and it's funding. And then someday, if it's a publisher, will check themselves, but they'll also see how the public are acting in the game, and they go, oh, there's a lot of people interested in this, we'll fund it and pick it up. Then there's a long wait. That I understand and get if it's a small studio, but if it's a larger studio who are making a game that it's going to come out, they're better off just leaving it within a few months, a year at most, until the game's out, rather than showing something too early, which ends up being not representative of the game. And it's like total, it's CGI footage. Hey, we're making this, and it's out. next year or in 2 years' time, and then inevitably the game gets delayed again, and then doesn't end up looking like what it should have been.
Yeah, and then you've got the opposite problem, which is, as Ross mentions in the chat room, games with films and World Cup games, unrealistic deadlines, because they end up coming out. Either they come out and they're just crap because they've been rushed to the end, or they end up coming out after the actual event.
The most famous one, which came out years after the film and ended up doing much better than the film, was GoldenEye.
That's true.
That's one of those rare games that they seem to just kind of go, all right, the game's not ready, take your time. And then ends up, and it's like, okay. And it ended up being fantastic.
You know, in my opinion, one of the worst examples of that was Wolverine, the game, that came out at the same time as the film. And the first two or three levels were awesome. I loved that game. And then I just realised that I was playing the exact same level over and over and over, and the same boss.
It was the same villains because they had no time to add anything else.
And it was so disappointing because I loved that game. The mechanics of how you controlled Wolverine and everything like that. It was obviously way at the beginning, somebody went, we are going to make an awesome Wolverine game. And they spent a huge amount of time working on how to make Wolverine fight well. And then they just didn't leave any time to make any
actual skin grow back and his muscles.
It was so well done. And then they did nothing. The storyline was poor.
It was based on a very poor film.
But
the story almost played better in the film.
Yeah. They could have done something more out of that. But the chap that obviously mentioned it is Fallout 4 creative director. And Fallout 4 announced... I mean, there must have been a huge amount of secrecy around Fallout 4.
I think everyone knew it was going to be... It's the same with the next...
It was a shock that when it came out.
Elder Scrolls, we all assume it's getting made.
No.
Kind of one day it was like, right, Fallout 4's been announced.
Everyone knew it was in development, but we didn't know it was coming.
We didn't know it was being announced. It was like that week, it was like, oh, wow, okay,
As soon as they announced their own little E3 thing, everyone kind of went, oh, it's going to be Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Bethesda's got a track record of being silent on a game and then when they announce it, it's out a few months after that, really.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, I think, because at that stage in development, you're probably far enough on that you're confident that it's nearly there.
And it's Rockstar are much the same as well. Usually when they announce, when they eventually announce the next Red Dead, which we all know they're making, that'll probably be within the year.
I kind of wait for that.
Yeah.
But they don't go to E3. I wouldn't be surprised if they announce it before E3 or something.
The only reason I'm holding on to my 360 at the moment is for Red Dead. That's the only reason. And if I'm honest, I haven't played it for months, but that's the only reason I can't get rid of my 360.
They're testing it at the moment for backwards compatibility, so it will come to Xbox One, so you can just keep your disc and put in your Xbox One.
Did you see the imagery for supposedly in-game imagery for Red Dead? The new Red Dead?
No,
I've not seen that. Let's see if we can find it.
I'd imagine anything showed at the moment is probably fake, to be honest.
It could be.
A lot like that. Did anyone see the new NX controller that had everyone kind of duped? Which ended up being a fake. It looked terrible. I'm glad that was a fake.
According to a website called WCCF Tech, never heard of it, Red Dead Redemption 2 to be unveiled at A3.
Rockstar don't
just
do
just on E3, a piece though. Of A3 so, paper.
Just details leaked.
Yeah, it's Rockstar don't go to E3, so... No.
That was 12 months ago, so that's clearly complete mince because they were planning it. They were probably suggesting it for previous E3. So,
it will be in development.
It will be, yeah.
It's got to be. They've been saying not to.
It's a San Diego branch.
I reckon they will show it off and announce it this year at some point, I think.
Yeah.
Has anyone else, being that we're kind of talking about Fallout 4, has anyone else tried the DLC?
Not yet.
Not yet. I've completely abandoned Fallout 4. I've completely given up on it. Entirely.
The game, I have to say, I really enjoyed it, except for the complaints that I've made previously about getting the power armor too quickly and blah, 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 blah. There wasn't a proper kind of difficulty ramp in it. However, I really enjoyed the new... I bought the season pack at the same time.
Is it the Mechanist one? What's it called? Automatron or something.
I did see some of that.
You can build your own robots. You can turn Codsworth into a giant tank-like killing machine. Upgrading stuff, making iBots. Really good fun.
Cool.
Really good fun. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Have you finished the story part of it?
No. Because actually, I find the story so weak that I don't give a damn about it.
That's probably one of my main criticisms with the Fallout series. Well, the two Fallouts I played, really, mainly three and four, has been some of the side quests I found pretty interesting, but the main story I've always kind of went, I don't care about my dad.
New Vegas.
I don't care about my kid.
Yeah. New Vegas had a really good.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, that one. But yeah,
I never played New Vegas.
I think it's good. I don't even know how far I'm through Fallout 4, but I've not actually properly played it in a couple of months because I maybe got a bit bored of it, but just kind of went. I feel intent will get back to it at some point, but the urge to jump back in is not. I haven't done that. And usually with me, when I pick up a game, I'll play it till completion. But Fallout is just kind of like. I'll come back to that later on.
If I hadn't already got the season pass, I would not have bothered.
Really? You wouldn't have taken that DLC?
I wouldn't have gone off and I bought it, and I probably wouldn't have gone back to the game.
Yeah.
But I properly really enjoyed that.
And they've jacked up the price of the season pass.
Yeah,
as
they
well.
Have.
Like, it was like originally £20 or something, now it's £40.
Wow. I think I got them as a pack. I think it worked out as like £15, so I spent about £4.
It was the extra £15 on top of the game, which you got for like about £20 to £25 or something.
£25, so I think it was about £40 for the two.
Huh. Yeah, and now you have to pay that for the season pass, which I'm sure if you shop around, you probably get less than £40, but I don't think you'll be able to get for £20 anymore.
Yeah.
No. Oh well. So we're generally of the opinion that they should hold their fire and wait for the money shot, basically.
If they can. But as
once it's cheaper, it's
well
worth it, though.
Sometimes don't have a choice. Because it was No Man's Sky, which they announced years ago, but that's one of those ones that no one had actually picked up, and since it has been picked up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it makes sense for them to go, this is what we're doing at the moment. Anyone want to throw money at us and publish us?
Yeah.
So it makes sense for studios
smaller
like
that. Smaller ones to announce it like that, yeah.
But develop, obviously, big studios like it's Ubisoft and it's Bethesda, it makes no sense.
He's doing the shut up, let's move on face.
Yeah. Or it's his cum face, it's hard to tell.
Who knows?
To your dulcet tones. Cheers, just keep talking for 10 more seconds.
I see far too much of the latter, to be honest.
Are you supporting us on Patreon?
No.
Well, you don't need to. You do the shows.
Right.
I'm talking to our fun listeners.
Oh, you told me I hadn't contributed enough and that I had to put tenner in a month.
And so should everybody, frankly. Thank you very much, everybody who contributes to Patreon. We really appreciate it. It goes to building studios. It goes to all sorts of awesome stuff. What are you guys doing?
Reading. He's smoking his thing.
Oh, right, whatever
that
noise was. So appreciate everybody who contributes to Patreon. If you don't contribute to Patreon and you want to, just head on over to britishtennetwork.com/Patreon and feel free to donate us anything that you want, anything from a dollar up, anything less than a dollar. Ridiculously, it costs us to actually get the money back. So please don't put anything less than a dollar in unless you want to bankrupt us. So I may just have given somebody a game there, which would be fun. Thank you very much for everybody who contributes to Patreon.
You just leave
it there. No, I don't think it works like that. We could do. Anyway, no, we appreciate everybody doing everything they can to help us on Patreon. The other people I just want to mention is the good people at UK2. They provide all of the servers and all of the bandwidth and everything like that for a pump. All of our shows out on a weekly basis and a daily basis, in fact, for the new show, straight from our computers and our lips to your ears. It really is quite a wonderful service that they provide. If you head on over to britishtennetwork.com/UK2, you will use our click through there and they will know that we sent you. And if you head to britishtennetwork.com/sponsor or click on the sponsor link up in the top right hand corner, you will see all of the voucher codes and everything like that you can use at UK2. And we really, really appreciate it. The third people I just want to mention is the super people at the 100TB. I almost said the super people at the live show there because I was reading the banner that went up. The super people at 100TB, they provide the bandwidth and everything like that for pumping out the live stream. So if you're not listening to us live and you're not in the chat room just now, so hello to everybody in the chat room. Waves to everybody in the chat room. Hi. If you're not in the chat room and you're not watching live or anything like that, then you should be. And you should be watching all of our shows live because there's a massive chat room of people chatting and generally tomfoolery that goes on during all
chatting.
Of our shows.
Just generally chatting.
Chatting in the chat room.
One of the three people in our chat room currently is saying, is pump your new word.
Pump is my new word. It's a good word, and it's not a word I would use lightly to talk about pumping our shows out to you live through 100TB. So if you're in America and you like the sound of stuff that we do with UK 200TB, are the people you need to speak to. So 100TB.com, and let them know that we sent you.
Pumpy Paul.
Yes.
I think they're asking if you will skin their beavers for them.
Wow. So apparently Paul Holmes picked up Red Dead last weekend and wondered why he never, ever, and wondered why I ever put it down. Well, exactly. Red Dead is an awesome game. I've went through and played that game a few times. It is an awesome game. Cannot wait for Red Dead Redemption 2. Paul Holmes is going to skin his beaver. And Ross is asking, is pump my new word? And yes, it is. Cool. You guys, I mean, I'm assuming, Sam, you want to talk about The Division. You haven't actually put a game in here.
I've got Division. Do you want to XCOM 2's point? Game?
To be honest, the thing that I've been playing the most is an old game.
Go for it. Whatever you want.
War of Thunder.
Oh, for goodness sake, I've got The Division queued up. Chiz, you talk first.
What were you going
to
do?
Yeah, I was going to talk The Division. You can jump
well,
in.
Well, let's both talk about The Division.
Yeah, there we go. Right, okay, Chiz, I just want to check, because sometimes you get a little bit prissy about walkthroughs. This is the first part walkthrough.
I don't care.
Right, okay, fine.
If it's a proper story-based game, but it's like, the story's, it's serviceable, not ruining anything. The Division, I was kind of fearful at first. Like, well, The Division, ever since it got announced, when we saw how pretty it looked, it looked very nice, but always knew that it would never end up looking as pretty as the original E3 show, which it doesn't.
No.
But the PC game on the high settings still does look pretty nice.
It's pretty. Yeah. Pretty.
But it never piqued my interest until, I think it was somebody had told me they had tried the closed beta and they thought it was awesome. So I went, all right, so I'll pre-order it just to get onto the beta and cancel my pre-order because I obviously hadn't played it yet. And then played the beta and actually intrigued me, and it was actually pretty good fun. So a few of us bought the full game, which I never thought I'd actually do because everything I'd seen of it before I played it was pretty dull, to be honest. But it's actually a fair, it reminds me of, it's like a mixture of Destiny, which I didn't particularly enjoy, but Destiny and Mass Effect. And what other game would you say? A mixture of something else on top of my head.
I don't know, something randomly shooty.
Yeah, it's
anything by Mr. Clancy.
Yeah, it's very, it's all loot based and a bit grinding, but it's a gunplay I found pretty fun. There's a lot of folk have complained that they found its gunplay, it's pretty clunky, but I've not thought that at all. I thought it's been pretty solid, and folk complaining how the enemies are, they're bullet sponges, but that's the sort of game it is. It's more of a RPG, it's MMO, so they're all going to have like certain health, and depending on how powerful you are with what weapons you're using, you're not necessarily going to kill them with a headshot. You might do if you're a higher level than them and you've got a good weapon, but if you're much the same level or they're higher level than you, they're going to take a few hits to down. But
so is it just a shooty? I mean, what is it? Because I know you guys have been really into it.
Yeah.
And I've not managed to play it.
It's mainly shooty-shooty.
It's a squad-paced, it's cover shooter.
Right, okay. So you kind of, you work as a team. That's the draw to it.
Yeah. Think it's Mass Effect. It plays at that, but more in a squad with other people. And you choose your loadouts to actually try and compensate. So, say for example, Sam's got a scanner and his grenade launcher thing. I'm probably best having, it's a separate thing to use with that. For example, it's a medikit and
the turret.
It's my gun turret, and then Bede, if he's playing, he'd have something else as well. So we've got all bases
the
covered.
Random shield thing.
Yeah. But I found it pretty good. Like, and actually actively trying to get more loot and better weapons and whatnot has actually become quite appealing. And that was one aspect of Destiny I didn't really enjoy. I found Destiny bored me for very, 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 very quickly, and when I heard this was very similar to Destiny, it didn't really pique my interest at all until I started playing it, and I've actually found it pretty good fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
And the Dark Zone area where basically is the only area where it's player versus player, because when you're playing outside the Dark Zone, you can either play on your own, or you can team up with three other people and play through the story and kind of grind and find stuff and just kind of roam around.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Dark Zone, that's where you meet its aggressive players, or not aggressive players. You can actually just you go in that area and try and take down its high level bosses to get better loot, because that's where you get the best loot.
Yep.
But you can't just use that, you have to extract it out, so you have to find an extraction area, fire a flare, wait for a helicopter to arrive to put your Dark Zone things on to get that out before you can really use that equipment.
Okay.
But while that's going on, other players can steal it from you. So if they notice on your backpack that you've got your car and things, you found it in the Dark Zone, they can either choose to help you or try and team up so you help each other, or steal it, or help you at first to lure you in false insecurity and then steal it later on. So it's like there's this constant kind of like even like whenever I've called in, it's a helicopter. I've had every now and then a random player appear, and we're just kind of view each other and kind of do a few things like a wave or like a salute to try and go, hey, I'm friendly. Yeah, are you really? But most of the time, I found that they're just there waiting for the helicopter as well.
Yeah.
There's one funny moment where I was extracting, it was my things that got to 10 seconds left, and then five random players appeared, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get screwed here. They ended up helping me kill all the AI that was in the area, and then when the helicopter appeared, they all ran up to put their things on it, because I thought, I'm going to stand back for a second to make sure they don't just kill me when I run up. I didn't realise the helicopter could only take five people's stuff. So I ran up to put it on, and when there was no hook to put my thing on, I went, I've called this bloody helicopter. And he's waited a full minute for it to arrive. They've turned up with 10 seconds left and nicked all the spaces. And it's like, so I had to fire another flare off again. So you get that happens. But yeah, there was a few balancing issue at first apartment where it was too punishing to go rogue. But they've changed it where to try and entice people to go rogue more often, although not too much, because you want, at the same time, it is quite cool when someone goes rogue and then you and the rest of the players will kind of hunt them down, and you get the longer that you can stay rogue and kill other players, you get some benefits and extra points. But if you get killed as a rogue, that person, he will also get some it's experience points and a few bonuses in it as well. So it's okay. Kind of like, so it kind of rewards you for hunting down rogues and becoming rogue. So it's like it's quite cool. It plays, it's basically, you can go in and, like, I've usually, when I've been playing on my own, it's quite good fun to try actually sneak around with no one spotting you, waiting for people to go rogue, and then trying to take them out.
Going rogue happens just by shooting someone, though.
Yeah.
Even if you do it accidentally.
It depends how hard you hit them, because once I accidentally shot someone and it gave me a warning, but it was just one shot from like a small weapon. But
so what happens when you go rogue? I mean, is it just like you're ejected from your group or something like that?
No.
If you're in a squad together, if somebody in your
everyone
squad, if someone in your squad kills or attacks someone, everyone in that squad will then go rogue. So it's kind of like, oh, cheers, Steve.
So I was playing with Bede, and we were in this big fight against loads of AI, and it was really tough, and there was loads of damn grenades. The grenades need to be sorted. They shouldn't be able to throw infinite amounts of grenades in about three at once. It drives me mental. But we're in this fight, and my tactic at that point had been try and snipe off with an LMG and then run in with quite a powerful shotgun afterwards, mm-hmm. and take out the ones that I hadn't, so to keep my cover movement going forward towards them.
Yep.
And I killed a whole load of AI, went charging in with my shotgun, and took a point-blank blast in someone's face, and it turned out to be another player.
Yeah.
And then his six-man group...
A shotgun's only one shot. He'll be rogue, yeah.
Six-man group charged in, wiped us out, and as I was kind of lying, bleeding out, one of them, in a less polite manner, ran up with quite a squeaky little prepubescent balls-dropping voice and went, "Suck my vagina!" But not the word vagina.
Okay.
It was quite rude.
Indeed. So you would recommend it?
Yes, yeah, good fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it so far.
It would be coming down in price now, because it kind of stayed up at its sort of 30-plus mark, even in the PC version, for quite some time.
I can see it holding its price for a while, unfortunately, actually.
All right. Oh, well. Very good. So that's The Division. Sam, what game were you wanting to talk about?
I've mostly been playing War Thunder.
War Thunder. Well, let me see if I can find a YouTube video on that one.
Okay.
Given that you didn't actually bother to put it into...
No, but I was talking about when we were...
We've got the War Thunder official channel.
You could do that.
Where is Find It? Tell us what the game is, what sort of game it is.
I found a plain one.
Okay, so most people, I presume, will know. Yeah, the plain ones are good. Most people, I think, will know the game World of Tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this has a World of Tanks element to it that you can trundle about in your tanks. Fly Daily, he's quite good.
Almost so much as that he flies daily.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be quite good.
He also plays with Baron Von Gamers or something. I've been watching a lot of this to try and get better. The other side of it is, and the side that I've enjoyed, I haven't even bothered with the tanks, is flying old World War II planes. You start off with really rubbish biplanes.
Right.
And it's just really good fun. It kind of matches you up with fairly evenly matched other planes, so you're not going to be playing late-end jet fighters whilst flying a biplane.
So when your engine cuts out, does it force you to land in a golf course like Indiana Jones?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Although generally in a biplane, that's never going to happen. Your wing is just going to be shot off because they're made of balsa wood. but really good fun. The maps are beautiful. Honestly, like properly beautiful. Flying in like a Hurricane or a Spitfire and diving through a half-collapsed viaduct and working your way between the arches or zooming around huge rock formations and canyons
he's got violated there by something.
That happens. It's the only time you're allowed to touch another plane is when you're on the runway. You generally start already flying. I've just been playing in arcade mode as opposed to real life flying mode because I'd be awful at that. And
you mean pretentious bastard mode?
Yeah, yeah. I have to say in arcade mode, generally, I come 1, 2, or 3 in my squad. So I seem to be all right at it. I'm really enjoying it. I get a 20 plane.
Are you in the blind gamers lobby?
Nope. 20 plane kill streak in one plane before. So you generally have like 5 different planes. So if you get shot down in one, you can move on to your next slot of 5. I was using one plane. It was the Spitfire Mark II, and I killed 20 other planes before someone shot me down. Normally, to be fair, I get between 1 and 3 planes per getting shot down.
That looks quite cool.
It is brilliant. It's stunning. Working your way up between the different things is great. It's also free to play. You don't have to pay for anything. Although, like with many of these things, you can buy yourself victory by simply purchasing plane
packs. Amazing
plane.
Or...
But those planes are not cheap. I had a quick look with no intention of buying. I had a quick look because I knew we were going to be doing the show. And I think one of the cheapest ones I saw was about $20.
Wow. But presumably you have them. It's not like... they're not like real life in that if you shoot it down, it's gone. You've got it.
Yeah, it's yours forever. You can play it in the next match.
Yeah.
So there's generally kind of 3 different types of planes. There's fighters, which are obviously just there to dogfight with. There are kind of strike fighters, which are for ground, and they often have like other rockets or little bombs on them to blow up tanks and things. Or there's just bombers, big old bombers with
Memphis
like,
Bell
turret
type
guns
things.
All over.
So do you have actual targets on the floor with the bombers? Yeah.
So see this video here.
Yeah.
When he's looking down, you can see that there's a bomb target on. You can also press V to go into the proper kind of bombing angle where you've got your reticule and stuff like that. But that cross on the floor there is where he's dropping his bombs. He's trying to get to those small red marks, mm-hmm. so the crosshairs. If you destroy all 3 of those, you can then attack the enemy airstrip. And if you destroy it, there you're going to win, basically. You've got the blue...
Because they can't put any more planes in there. So.
The other way of doing it is just... shoot every single one of their planes out of the sky and still have men on your team. So you can win either through kind of aerial domination or, and I think really they put it in to give the bombers a purpose, because generally they're totally outmatched by fighters of the same kind of level, or you can kind of bomb stuff to death. You can also just spend your time taking out AA guns and little armoured cars and things like that.
Can I go but Japanese kamikazes and just you go for a kill death ratio of 1-for-1?
You can go Japanese.
Yep.
You can. Do you get the kamikaze though?
Yeah, I mean, you can fly them however you want. So yeah, you could. You can just dive in and drop your bomb at the very last second, which is kind of what they did, and just make sure there are ships you can do that to, which is generally how they did it.
I just need to learn Japanese for I regret nothing as I fly to fly.
I'm not sure, but was kamikaze not the call? Like, kamikaze!
Yeah, but I want to.
I bring much honour on my family.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's absolutely stunning. It's a beautiful, beautiful game. It's really easy to get into. It's really easy to play. It's a lot more difficult to master.
Yeah.
I'm getting reasonably good at it for my level, but I still get my arse handed to me on occasion. Random little advert in the middle there.
I
would totally recommend it. And if anyone's jumping in, feel free to add me. I'm on as Dr. Nasty Flaps. I'd be happy to add you to my squadron. And chocks away, Elbeam. We can go and take out Jerry.
I'm leaving the camera on you just to make that last thing awkward.
She was the worst Spice Girl. Let's go.
There's British planes, there's American planes, there's Russian planes, there's German planes, obviously, and there's Japanese planes. It's fantastic, and it's so pretty.
Right, it looks quite good. Interesting.
Each match takes about 15 minutes, so it's something that you can drop into and kind of muck around with, and then leave.
Up my street.
That's what I was thinking, Paul.
Awesome. I have been spending a lot of time on Just Cause 3. Just Cause 3.
How far are you up to? It's like, what island have you...
I'm on the second island. I spent huge amounts of time on the first island because I basically did all the proper missions and then went into the main base and just kept getting my ass handed to me. And it was because I was doing none of the side missions. So I went away and did all the side missions and basically 100%ed the first island. And now I'm on the second island. But it is just one of those kind of switch your brain off. I think there probably is a plot, but I'm not 100% sure what's going on.
You're best ignoring it or inventing your own, I think, with this game, because it's pretty terrible, but it's not what
that's not what this game's about.
Just running around and going, right, there's George. I'm going to save him.
Like this kind of stuff here, one of the most satisfying things is, so you might do it here. So when you're in your parachute, you can use your grappling hook to like pull you along, so you could basically just traverse the entire island in a parachute, because
or your wingsuit.
Or your wingsuit as well, yeah, because it does the same thing. I found it's trickier in the wingsuit without, like, smashing your face against the tarmac.
It takes a bit of practice.
It does, definitely.
Are you using a controller with it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier with the controller.
He's missing the leg bits of that wingsuit. I don't see that as being viable.
There's a lot of this game probably particularly viable. He'd have his shoulder ripped out.
Realism really, really serious in this game.
With the grappling hook, Sam, he would have his shoulder pulled out of its socket on a minutely basis, the way that he does this.
Although my Riku was supposed to be freeing this... this nation from a horrible dictator.
There you go.
All I'm doing is attaching jet rocket explosives to random people's anuses as they get jettisoned into the air, scream and explode. And then the next time they're celebrating me.
Yeah, it's like, for example,
it's like, this guy here, I'd be attaching him to this car, driving off. Oh, there we go. But
surely he's got to punish that car for that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't do that wrong. You can't actually attach it to that. There you go, he's on the roof now.
But yeah, it's good. I recommend doing more of the side missions.
You're my wife now, Dave.
Unlock more your
unlock.
Unlock. unlock more of your things, because like I think you start with, was it 2 or 3 grapple things, but I think you can end up using it 6 at the same time.
Yeah,
and creating massive.
You get 2 to begin
them.
With, yeah. And then yeah, so the 2 of them are quite handy because you
These
can basically attach
make
two
no
things
effort
together.
To stop.
You can attach 2 things together and just push a button and they basically smash together. Yeah. But then you can start adding more and more on. So in fact, he's going to do that there. There you go. Hey. So you can do that kind of stuff.
That's it's really cool. It pulled the tree down at the back there.
Yeah. I'd like to, like, it's amazing how much of the environment can actually get destroyed.
There you go. He's dragging that woman away. There we go. Off she goes. So it's quite an awesome game. It's definitely a switch your brain off. I got it actually in reasonably cheaply. I want to say it was about 15 or 16 quid or something like that. Because it's been out for a little while. It's been out since before Christmas.
I did notice they drive around the dead body. They don't make any effort to miss you. But, oh, God forbid they should drive over a car.
There you go. He's just been smashed into again. Here.
Sorry, yeah. Paul, I interrupt.
No, yeah. No, it's okay.
It's between the grapples and those it's jet-powered explosives, which kind of are basically it's little rockets before they explode. Just experimenting with them is actually really good fun.
See, and that kind of thing. So he just managed to lift himself off in a parachute with his grappling hook. I love that. So he's getting quite a bit of height there as well. And actually, some of the landscape and stuff like that's really cool when you're kind of wandering about, seeing stuff. It's a really nice game.
It's a really pretty good game. Yeah, it's good.
So I thoroughly enjoying this. There we go. The helicopters are so satisfying as well. I find them like the big.
It's
I forget
explosions.
What it's called.
The explosions are absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Like, obviously that's where they've put most of their effort into. Like when it's come to story, it's very much a story that it's the developers themselves have written rather than having a proper writer. Because if they had a proper writer, they should maybe get their money back.
Yeah.
But for what the game is for, what it is for just. Pure action explosions, it reminds me of basically like watching a 80s action film. You don't watch it for the plot.
Yeah. This to the left just says you're running around here is one of the police compounds that are in almost every village that you. In fact, I think every village that you need to take out, and they're quite good fun because you can have so much fun with this kind of. He's about to do exactly the kind of thing that I would do. There you go. So he's just taking the police chief and attached them to a whole bunch of stuff and just let go, and there he goes. So it's you can be quite inventive as to how you kill folk. In fact, I find myself resetting some of the missions to kind of think I that was a little bit too lazy. I just went in with a gun there. I could find far more interesting ways to kill that guy or to blow that thing up. So it's very satisfying. I highly recommend it just as a switch your brain off and play.
The AI, it's one of the things where the AI isn't great, but it kind of at the same time it works to its kind of favor. The same with it's Grand Theft Auto where the AI it's not all that smart, but it's actually. It's more appealing the way it is because they do stupid things. Like, I had a moment where I was getting chased and I think I got blown out of my helicopter, fell in the water, and as I looked up, I just saw all these cars driving off the cliff after me straight in the water. They're all just ploughed off the cliff after me.
But and you get tanks just kind of driving off. See, that frustrated me to begin with because I remember moaning to you about it, Chiz, that the AI was just too stupid for my liking.
Yeah.
But you're right, over time, it just kind of adds to the comedy value because you get some of these areas and there's like a tank just driving along and then all of a sudden, for absolutely no apparent reason, it'll just take a hard left and drive off the edge of a cliff. For absolutely no apparent reason.
Yeah.
It's quite funny to kind of see that kind of stuff. It kind of goes along with
the booster explosives, which I can upgrade here at the moment. But between that...
There we go.
And the grapples, it's good.
You could really see that because it's in the tiny little window there. But pretty awesome. I am thoroughly enjoying it. And it's one of those games I can see me just going back again and again to over time.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. Anyway... That is our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. We will hopefully be back in 2 weeks, pending any variety of issues. Sam's girlfriend becoming unwell, me being unwell, me having meetings and me having a child is basically the reasons that we haven't been on for a little while. So none of those things are planned for 2 weeks.
Chiz bummed a dog as well.
Yeah. He got kind of stuck and
when
stuff.
When you're in Dublin, that's what you do.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. If you want to get a hold of us, please head on over to our Facebook page. So just search for The Gamer Show on Facebook. On Twitter, at British Tech, or myself, at Paul Wheatley. If you want to email us, BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. You can check out our Google Plus community, but I honestly think none of us have looked at that thing for at least 6 months. And of course, Patreon, which I mentioned in the break earlier on. Do you have anything else to add, gentlemen?
No. Come and join me on some games. It's generally Dr.
Just any old game.
Generally Dr. Nasty Flaps. Take a look.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. And the more merrier, we can get on a bit of Halo 5 and it's Rainbow Six Siege as well. It's been... it's Ross's brother. Scott's been playing quite a lot of that, and even though we most didn't get our asses kicked, it's still really good fun.
Yeah.
So if we can get a squad together and Rainbow Six Siege on Xbox One, that would be awesome.
Cool. Thank you very much. Good night.
Toodles.
Bye. Fish.